take your Bibles, let's make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, I'd like for you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm sure we've all heard, and I know I spoke a little bit last week about this, about Billy Graham passing away. I mean, you know, that was the week before. But his funeral was this week, and they had him in the rotunda, is that right, in Washington, and they brought him to his library in North Carolina where they did the funeral and all that stuff. I wasn't able to see, just missed it, the times that I saw, whatever, the funeral itself, but I was able to see the finishing of it. And I don't know if any of you saw it. It was on, I know some CNN, and there was some other stations that were all there, you know, viewing it, and they were just showing it. I mean, that's a tremendous blessing there, that, you know, free advertisement for the kingdom of God throughout the whole world. You know, great man has passed away, and we need a younger generation to rise up and take the place of a generation that is dying off. I mean, that's just how it is. And but we need a generation that will rise up, that will take up the mantle of preaching the gospel uncompromisingly, you know, uncompromisingly, to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross and the victory that is won in our hearts and lives through salvation and through him cleaning up our hearts and our lives and helping us to become what God wants us to be. But I was impressed with just the ending, what I saw. Was I was impressed with how after, you know, all his children were at the exit parts. I don't know if anybody saw that, at the exit. I mean, how many children did he have? Five or six? He had, three girls or so, and I think two boys. And, you know, probably the most famous one of all is Franklin Graham, you know, his son. But I think he had another son. And if I'm correct, and I think he had three daughters. But I was so impressed that, you know, they all lined up in all different areas because it was a huge, huge tent. I mean, it thousands, I would say, sat in that place. And as people were leaving, they'd line up, and they would just, you know, these people would just shake their hands, and sometimes comments were made thanking them for their father and what he preached and what he did, and some would tell little stories about what he did for them and how they went to some of his tent meetings and all, you know, just, you know, all the accolades of, you know, of things. And that's great. I mean, you know, because this man did some great things for the kingdom of God as far as ushering in people's souls into the kingdom of God. Praise God. But, you know, we were watching, and one thing, there was one of his daughters, and this man, probably, I'd say 50s or so, and his son next to him, probably about 16, 17, maybe 18, you know, in that area, you know, and they came up to one of the daughters, and the camera, because they were going from, you know, they would shoot here, then they'd shoot, you know, another one, then, you know, just constantly just shooting these as they were just shaking their hands and saying all these things. But they have to be on this part, this lady, one of the daughters, and the father and the son come up, and the father says some things, and the son says, you know, he started out, you know, he says, I know our generation, needs to rise up, Connie, and do the things that your father has done in preaching the gospel. You know, the young boy was just saying that he wants to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to get out there and preach the gospel and share the gospel with people as they would gather together to give their hearts to the Lord. And as he finished saying what was in his heart, you know, and you can see that, you know, if he wants to do that, God has called him to do that, you know. And the daughter looks at him and says, do it fast. And number two, because Jesus is coming. I know Jelaine and I, we just kind of like, it was just a confirming in our spirit. Something leaped. I mean, it was like, ooh. She said, do it fast because Jesus is coming. And people, I know we've heard Jesus is coming. And honestly, some of the church has fallen asleep. You know, it's like the 10 virgins, you know. And five of them, you know, they're all not there anymore. And the other five are just waiting for the groomsmen to come. You know, just waiting, you know. And so, but you know, we need to realize this. Jesus is coming. And he's coming for his church. He's coming for his people, you know. And we need to continuously share the gospel at whatever avenue, whatever way that we can, so that people will give their hearts and lives to the Lord. And I know, you know, we're living in a generation where, you know, honestly, the hearts of a lot of people are hard towards the gospel. It's the truth. It's true. They're hard towards the gospel. Some of them are backslidden. Some of them are not. They just don't want anything concerning God at all. At all. But you see, that's where it comes in, where God said, pray, seek my face. See, God can take a people that's hard and don't want anything and put a desire in them for him. God's waiting for people that will intercede and say, Father, come on, Lord, do something in their hearts and lives. People, we don't realize that once this life is over with, this is it. As far as here upon the earth for X amount of time. Then we come backwards, but I mean for X amount of time. That what we do here determines the place where we will be for eternity. And the devil has lulled the church to believe that just do your thing, come in church, make sure it satisfies you and you alone, and you leave and that's it. But Christ is saying, look, take up the mantle of what Jesus came and did upon the cross to do for us, to bring us back in reconciliation to the Father. Amen. That we do all we can to share the gospel, because we don't want anyone to go into hell at all. Because, you know, we know what the scripture says. That the only door is Jesus Christ and there's no other door. I don't care how many people pray to saints. I don't care how many people pray to whatever things out there. Let me tell you, there's only one person that paid the price on Calvary's cross, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And let me tell you, don't back up from what we know is truth. And let me tell you, it's not just the parishioners, but let me tell you, it's some of the pastors. My gosh! It angers me sometimes, because I know the direction the pastor goes is the direction the people are going. No good thing we can do. I can go today and sell everything I have, take all the money I have, and give it to the poor. That won't mean a hill of beans to the Lord as for a salvation for my soul. None. It won't give me another notch on my belt, you know, to get closer to God or anything like that. It won't mean a thing to him. We don't do good works to get to heaven. We do good works because we're saved already. And doing good works does not help our salvation at all. But there's a place that we need to, there's a place that we want people to shun, and there's a place that we want people to hunger for. And that's heaven with Jesus Christ. You know, hell wasn't made for people. You know that? Hell was not made for people. Hell was made for a third of the angels that rebelled against God. They did one thing wrong that we know of, that it recorded in Scripture. And God said, that's it. Banished, or banished from heaven, and you have a place in hell for yourself. We don't want human beings, as they close their eyes, wake up, if you want to say it that way. Okay, that's kind of, wake up, because there's no really dying of any kind. You die maybe in the body, but the spirit never dies. Never dies. You don't want them to wake up in a place that is horrifying. Horrifying. That we do all that we can to bring people with us to heaven. That goes from praying, seeking God, heralding forth the gospel to whoever will listen and hearken unto the voice of our God. You know, we've been studying the book of Mark on Wednesday nights. At one point, we read, you know, we studied about how Jesus sent forth the disciples. After he had been with him a little while and he was training them, because you see, it would be these 12 guys that would take over the ministry of our God, our Lord, and our Savior. And it was up to them by the Holy Spirit to go and herald forth the gospel of Jesus Christ so that it would not be watered down of any kind. And he sent them out. He gathered them together, brought them forth, and he sent them out two by two to go forth into places to preach the gospel. That means they went into cities, probably more than one, each of these pairs. But he sent them two by two, and he said, look, now this is just for this scenario, because it says that he said, don't take any food, basically don't take any water, don't take... He said this, don't even take two coats. But he said, you walk into these places, and you find people that want to know about me. And you start preaching the gospel. And he said, look, if they don't want to hear you, just shake the dust off your feet and go to another city. See, the Spirit of God even then was working and trying to move in whatever capacity, whatever way that he could touch the lives of people. I know every one of us has family members, and it hurts my heart that we know that don't know God, or basically some have rejected Christ. What are we doing to gather them in? What are we doing to gather them in? Call out their names every day before Christ, that the Holy Spirit would come in and reckon their hearts and souls back to Him somehow, somewhere. Whatever it takes. Because we know that we don't want anybody to open up hell at all. I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, I've been praying this for the last few weeks, Lord, show me, and as a church, how we can win the loss, whatever way, Lord. Is that important? That's probably two parts, but that's one of the main parts of the church. You know that? You know, it's to win the loss. It's to go out there to do whatever needs to be done to gather in the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? When Jesus went out and 5,000 would come and follow him, that's not counting the children or whatever, the people would come. They would come. And what would he do? it's kind of off board now, but what did Jesus do? He preached the gospel. Interesting. He preached the gospel to the people. They would give their lives to the Lord. He would heal the sick. Then sometimes he'd feed them. We almost have it as the church nowadays, the kind of backwards now. We try all kinds of stuff to bring them in and make a little bit of the gospel in the end. I was talking to somebody and I had to chuckle to myself, and I kind of just, they were talking about things that they were doing for their church, and you know, and so I wasn't on the same wavelength as him. It's like I just couldn't. And so they were doing all kinds of, you know, whatever, and I said, well, I was trying to put it, like at the end, I said, do y'all have like an altar call? You know, something to salvation? You know, it's kind of like, no. I said, okay. He just said, we pray at the beginning, and we do our stuff. Then you know some people want to leave, so we let them go. And I was telling Jelaine about this. I said, my God, Lord. I said, Father, help me. Help us. You know, help us. Help us to do what is right. Let me tell you, the thing that makes with God is souls, people. Because he knows. If we would just read a little bit in the Bible what it says about hell and the evils that is there and the torture that is there and the flesh falling off of people's bodies and torture from demon spirits constantly and how they love to torture the people that once knew Jesus and turn their backs as they're locked up in cells, as they're locked up there, as they are tortured day and night, you know, of evil, burning, but it's never quenched. Oh. Evil. How much we would get on our knees and pray and seek the face of God and say, Lord, move upon our families. Move upon Gaydon. Lord, move upon this area. How many times we go to funerals and all we hear is how good these people were. Let me tell you, goodness will not hack it. And we know that. But sometimes it's even heartening, more heartening when it comes from the church. And I'm not saying to have accolades of what they've done and great people, but to leave that as their main point of view of getting into heaven, it won't happen. It won't happen. We need to do all the things we can. As the Spirit of the Lord is moving, because we know he's coming back soon, people. Soon. Soon. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, starting in verse 9, it says this. 6, 9. Galatians 6, 9. Says this, and let us not be weary. Oh, okay, got it. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. And keep that up there. The first part of it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. An amazing scripture. Now you have to understand, the Apostle Paul was writing that to the Corinthian people, the church of the Galatians, the Galatian church. He was writing that to them and he's saying, And let us not be weary. Don't get tired in the spirit, people. Don't get tired. Don't become weary in doing well. Don't become weary in praying for your family. Don't become tired in doing well. Don't become weary or tired in interceding and praying and seeking the face of God for your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren and just for people out there, friends that you know that don't know God. What the devil will try to get you to do, don't worry about it. They'll never turn to Christ. That's not truth. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is more stronger than anything other, if you want to say force, because I don't like to, he's a Godhead, part of the Godhead, than anything else upon the earth. Yep. Nothing else is as powerful as the Holy Spirit. Nothing else at all. Let us not become weary in doing well. Let us not become tired in reading our Bibles and interceding and praying and doing good to our fellow men. To love, as I preached last week, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. To love them without a shadow of a doubt. Love them enough to tell the truth. Love them enough to speak the truth. Love them enough to be able to stand upon the Word of God, knowing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has your back because of the Word of God and what it stands for. It would probably make us stay up at night to pray and intercede and ask God to move upon a situation and upon family members. Don't get weary in your soul. Don't get weary in your spirit. Don't get tired. Say, oh, man, I don't know if I can make it. Now, I understand our bodies need a rest. Just like when Jesus told the disciples to go out two by two. When he brought them back in, he said, look, let's go out to a desert place. And what he was saying is, so you can rest. Going out to a desert place to rest. They got on that ship and they went to the other side and to rest and to take it easy. Because we do need to take care of our bodies, people. We do need to rest properly. We need to make sure we're taking care of things so that we can be our best for the kingdom of God. Don't become weary. Don't get tired. And I know that's hard sometimes because, hey, you know, the older you get, you know, it's not our fault. It's Adam and Eve's fault. Got to blame somebody. It's not us. It's them. Those two characters. You might say, well, you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to them. Well, if you can find them. Because we're not sure if they made it into heaven. You're not sure through the scriptures. You don't know for sure. But, you know, it's because of the sin nature. And I know our bodies wear down, just like Billy Graham. Man, you saw the picture of this. It was like, that's him? I mean, I hadn't seen him in, you know, pictures in a long time. It was like, Lord. But, I mean, that's just how it goes. The body breaks down. The spirit doesn't. The spirit will last. It will live forever. Somewhere. But the body breaks down. But don't become weary. Take care of those things, you know, in your bodies. Don't be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sow in the Spirit. For in due season we shall reap. In God's time we'll bring forth exactly what is promised by the Lord. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. The things that we've been believing God for, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The things that you've been praying about, according to God's will, if we faint not, it will come in due season according to God's will. We just got to keep pressing in, people. Keep pressing in with tenacity, people. Don't back up. Go forward. Say, Father, I don't know how to, I don't understand this. But take another little step. And another little step. and keep going forward in your relationship with the Lord. Don't back up. Don't back up. Don't back up. Just keep on walking forth. You might say, well, how do I keep on going forward? You keep putting your faith in Christ every day. Saying, Lord, you see what's going on in my personal life. You see what's going on in our church. You see what's going on in our community. But Father, I put my faith and trust in you, Lord. And Lord God, you will handle those things. You will fight for me. You will bring victory. It will be manifested in my heart and in my life as I believe, have faith in you, that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, you know how it is? It's determined by us if we faint not. That's interesting. Not that if God faints not, but if we faint not, if we back up, if we don't do what God wants, it's all determined by us. But yet God brings the victory. What we've been praying about, what we've been asking God for, according to his will, as we put our faith and trust in him, he brings it about in his perfect timing. Because we trust in him and what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. And then we shall reap if we faint not. For as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That means Christian brothers and sisters. Okay. You see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hand. If we faint not, maybe start the race, but do not finish. They give up, we may fail, but the cross never fails. Cross never fails. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, I want you to turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain lady called Hannah, and her husband was Elkanah. And he had, well, you know what, two wives. One was Hannah and one was Peniah. And Hannah had no children at all. None. You know, and the other wife had many children. And back then, when a woman didn't have children, it was considered a curse. And every year it says in the scripture that Hannah would go to the place of worship, as they would have to go once a year to do the sacrifices and all that. So Elkanah, which was her husband, would bring the wives and all the children, and they would go up there. And she would go with him every year because he loved her more than the other wife, basically. And so as he was there with her, she would go in. And they'd make the sacrifices, do everything year after year after year. She'd have to walk there or ride, however they went, with no children. And the other wife had beaucoup children down the line. But sometimes we don't realize that maybe some of the things that we go through has been planned by God to bring about the great plan of our Lord and Savior. Don't be weary in doing well, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Look at this. I want to read this scripture. Look at as many scriptures. So look at verse 5. We'll read that. It says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, for the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, here she is upset that she had no children. They've been married X amount of years. The other wife had beaucoup children. But it says in the scripture that the Lord shut up her womb. Ooh. That means he looked at her to be in the lineage or the line of the Messiah, to bring forth the lineage of the Messiah and all that would come, as far as the prophet that would come forth. And so here we see God shut up the womb, but God was doing something great in her. Because it says later on in the scriptures, in chapter 1, you can go and read it, that she finally went 1 year after they go every year, she went into the temple. She went there to do all that she needed to do every year. And she got in there and was just heartbroken because of the pressure and because of the other wife and the children that would make fun of her and cause her grief and agony, that she was cursed by God. All kinds of evil that they'd say to her. And as she's in the place of worship or the sacrifices, doing all that, it says that she was praying with everything she had within her, saying, Lord, she wanted a child. Lord, bless her. And finally, she got to the place where she said, Lord, if you give me a man child, I will give him back to you. And she got to the place where God wanted her to be. That was God's pressing point. And the priest came and said, he thought she was drunk, you know that, and she wasn't. But he said, he said to her, whatever you have prayed for, may God grant it unto you. And that year later, not more than a year later, she became pregnant and had a child. Praise God. And this child was a prophet, Samuel, that came forth. Look, so you see, we have to realize this, that all things work out for good to them that love the Lord. That yet we have to make sure that we won't become weary, that we don't lack or go back, but that we stand firm in the things that God has called us, and we look forward to the things that God wants to do. My God, God used this woman. God used this woman to bring forth a prophet in the land that would share the things of God and would do a mighty work in that area. Because you see, God wanted someone, and God got someone. You see, everything that God has for you and I is great things. We just have to wait sometimes for the timing of what God and when He wants to do it. He had to get Hannah to a place where she submitted her life totally unto Him and get her on the same wavelength, the same pattern, the same thing, the same line as what He wanted. You see? Because we have to realize we are His, and what does He desire and going to do in our hearts and in our lives? What does God want? What does God want? We got to do everything we can to please the Father, people. To please Him. And it says that after she became pregnant, she stayed home with Him, never went back yet, for approximately between 3 to 5 years, when He would become weaned of her, and she would be able to bring Him to that place. Now, you think that was hard? But she probably looked and said, I wouldn't have this if it wasn't for Him. People, some things that God will ask of us may be hard, but let me tell you, it's not as hard as Him giving up His Son to die on a cross for us. We got to keep the measurements right. Some things are not easy. Some things are very hard that God may ask of us. But let me tell you, we got to stay on the same length of what did God do for us? What did Jesus do for us? And what did the Holy Spirit do for us? We got to be able to give up and do what God has called us to do, no matter what it may entail, to the best of our ability, that we give up those things that He says to give up, and we pursue the things of God and the things of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Says this. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Establish your faith firmly, attached to the cross of Christ. Be unmovable. Allow your faith to be moved from the cross to Christ only. Do not let your faith be moved from the cross to Christ. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, telling others about Christ. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me read it again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My God. Praise God. Do the things that God calls you to do, people. Don't hold back. I say, well, Pastor, sometimes I'm not sure. You just keep praying and say, Lord, confirm it. Lord, show me. Lord, help me in this area to do what God has called us to do. Hannah knew that she would have to give up her child. And the only time she would see him would be once a year. Once a year. Wow. Going from seeing him, giving birth, number one, carrying him for 9 months, seeing him every day, every day, every day, taking care of him for 3 to 5 or so years till he was able to take care of himself, basically, that she could bring him to the temple and give him to the priest. Wow. She trusted her God. And throughout that year, she probably prayed for him, asked God to move upon him, that God would give him wisdom and understanding and knowledge of his word to help the church, help the people at that time. See, we got to be willing to give up. We got to be willing to give. We got to be willing to give up our lives for other people sometimes. And give them these things as she did. The Apostle Paul, his great conversion to the gospel. My God, what a God we serve. That would do such a thing because he loved him. And it came because the church was praying. If the church wouldn't have been praying, it wouldn't have happened, even though God wanted it to. How much more should we say, Lord, help me to pray and seek your face and so that the will of the Father is done upon the earth. You might say, well, you know, God has all power. God can do whatever he wants to do, and that's truth. You know, he can do it, but yet he relies upon the church, the people, to pray and to seek him and to honor him. And as we do those things, that God, the Holy Spirit, comes down upon a people, comes down upon a church, and gives him wisdom, and shows them what to do, and how to get the job done. Number one job of the church is to win the lost, and number two is to build up the people in it, to give them instruction in the Word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get weary. Keep your faith in him. Say, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, help me to accomplish your will in my life upon this earth. You know, when we close our eyes, when we close our eyes, we want to be able to think in our hearts, Lord, I did everything I think that I know you wanted me to do. We close our eyes for the last time. We want to all think, Lord, I've done everything I could do to bring your will upon the earth. To get it done. Take care of yourself. read that word that's on your lap. Read it. Get it in your spirit. Spend that time with the Holy Spirit. Spend that time with your God. My. Just one word from the Holy Spirit can change our lives forever. Just one word. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Don't back up, but keep going forward. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I feel I'm backing up. It doesn't matter how we feel. It's what we're doing. We may feel it, but that doesn't mean it's actually being done. We got to keep pressing in. Press on towards the mark of the high calling of God. Press on towards the mark. Press on towards the mark. The mark is heaven for us, people. To be with our Savior Lord for eternity. To do the will of the Father. Because look, he's coming, people. He's coming. He's coming. As we were singing that song, you know, he's coming for us. One day. Or one day we'll open up our eyes and be in heaven with him. One day. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. As Billy Graham's daughter said, do it fast. Because he's coming back soon. Coming back soon. And so we just keep pressing and we do what God has called us to do. Take your word and read it. Get it in your spirit. You've been praying about something, get some scriptures on what you've been praying about. And believe those scriptures. That has to line up with what God wants for your life. You know, in Matthew 28, it says, whatever two shall agree upon the earth, it shall be done. But it has to be according to what God has for us to do, that we agree with him. You know, I can't grab you and say, look, let's pray about this situation when it's not even God's will. It will not work. But if I take one of you and we start praying about something that God has instilled into my heart or your heart, we know, too, it shall be done. According to the will of the Father. You see, that's the word of God. And when we take the word of God and we use it according to how God said to use it, it becomes alive unto us. And it becomes alive upon the earth. We want the word of God to become alive on the earth. That means it becomes alive in our spirit man. Oh, my God. We believe what it says. And God speaks to our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And we know that it's truth. And when we know that it's truth, it starts to happen. It starts to move. The power of God moves upon the earth. And God changes things for us. God says what? We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. My God. What God has called. Let us not become weary in doing well. Don't faint. Keep standing strong. Saying, Lord, I don't know if I can stand, but you put your faith in him and he helps you to stand strong. Sometimes we don't realize how strong we really are. You know, the scripture says something like, I don't remember how it's worded, so I can't say it. When you think you're strong, you're really weak. When you're weak, you really are strong. You know, to that kind of, I don't know exactly how it's worded, so I guess. Hey, but you know, when you think you're strong, that's when you're really weak. But you put your faith in yourself. But when you kind of feel weak and you kind of, it's God is saying you're really strong because you put your faith in me. And that's the difference. Faith in him. Faith in self or faith in whatever. But faith in him is the difference. Amen. Don't be weary in doing well. Don't faint. Look to him. Keep pressing in. Keep knocking on that door. Knock. As it says in Revelation. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Every time you pray about your family, a knock on that door. And then, you know, that's the figurative. As you pray again, another prayer. You pray again, another prayer. You pray again, another prayer. The odors of the prayers of the saints are ever, it says in Revelation 4. It's an amazing thing that even our prayers are not wasted. That's amazing. That your prayer this morning, what you prayed about during worship service, that it's ever before the throne of God. My God! That it's never wasted. It's never just thrown aside and said, oh, that's nothing. That even, can you imagine that I'm about to close? It's only 11 o'clock. Everybody say, I'm hungry. Can you imagine your prayers that you pray are ever before the throne room of God? Can you imagine that we are that valuable? Can you imagine? We are that valuable. Even the words of our mouths, the prayers that we pray, are ever before you, my God. As our prayers are ever before you, it says old Smoothfoot has access to some part of heaven. We don't know what part it is, but ours is before the throne, that he has access to the Father somehow. And he's throwing accusations about you and I to the Father. You see how I'm saying from the side? Because he's conniving. Our prayers go before the Father from before his face. Because we are in right standing with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. You may stand, please. Hallelujah to the King of Kings.